Welcome. My name is Dr. Christopher Taylor, and I want you to know that it's okay to be sad, that it's okay to feel lost, and that it's okay to struggle, that we all struggle. But today, none of that matters, because today is about you, and today is about helping you become the best you possible. So for now, relax, take a deep breath, and enjoy some thoughts for your self-examination. Welcome back to For Self-Examination, and that was a hot swig of coffee I just took there. I am your host, Dr. Christopher Taylor, and we are back with yet another great episode of For Self-Examination. I mean, I hope that they're great episodes. I know I kind of always start every episode with we're back with another great episode, but I have to say I enjoy them so much. So maybe you can tell me if they're not great. We do love your thoughts and opinions. You can find us on Twitter at Taylor at TCG underscore Dallas. You can email us info@taylorcounselinggroup.com. And also you can always learn more about me and our practice at taylorcounselinggroup.com. This is a great interview with Debbie. Debbie Black is here to help us from Arizona. She has a very great story, as a lot of these people tend to do. But hers is about family dynamics, which is really interesting. And we're going to talk about the concept of nature versus nurture in the interview, but it's something that I've always found so interesting. Debbie comes from a family that has a long history with bipolar disorder. And for those of you that know or have experienced bipolar disorder, either in your lives or in the lives of those around you, you know it can be a very difficult mental health disorder to deal with, to cope with, to survive in many ways. The manic episodes and the low depressions that come with bipolar disorder can be very challenging. And it can be hard on families, and it can be hard on communities and businesses and everybody, really. So it can be a really difficult thing. And while Debbie did not struggle with it, she has a lot of family members that do and have. And so it's interesting to get her perspective, to see all this kind of front row as she grew up and now, you know, lives out her adult life. But what we talk about in the interview, and we don't really talk about it enough, is the concept of nature versus nurture. That, you know, that I'm born with something in me, right? These genes, you know, we all have these genes that we're born with. And some of those genes are activated or open to certain dispositions, right? So there are genes for all kinds of things, like depression, I don't know, genes that just make you good at being artistic, right? And then there's genes that predispose us to certain things, like drugs or alcohol or mental health issues. Some of us have genetic dispositions to high blood pressure in stressful situations, right? So it's more likely that you'll develop high blood pressure due to stress, whereas others don't. So they might go through the same exact stressors as you and not have that same biological response. So a lot of the data coming out now is really fascinating about how genes impact our lives. And there have been a lot of studies on twins, identical twins specifically, who are born with the identical set of genes, but have either different upbringings or the same upbringing, and watch how they kind of adapt differently. And then also twins that are not identical that go through a similar nurture process but respond to things radically different. So it's very interesting. The simplest way I've heard it put is that nature loads the gun and nurture pulls the trigger. You know, I think that's a really simple way to kind of view it, is that, you know, we're sort of preloaded with these dispositions, but depending on how we learn how to cope and the strategies we've learned at the house that we were raised in, can really determine, you know, how we respond to certain situations. And so it's interesting to see Debbie's approach to happiness. And then we're going to get into the concept of happiness as a direction, that it's really just a choice that you get to decide, you know. So that's very exciting. We're going to hop right into that interview. There's so much to talk about. We'll get to it right after this. This episode of For Self-Examination is brought to you by the Empathy App, the app made by therapists to help you find your path.
Hi, I'm Jerry, and I want to congratulate you for taking the first step on your path to a better you. Sometimes we feel a little overwhelmed. Whether it is with feelings of sadness or worry or anger, our emotions can feel a little too much at times, and that's okay. Welcome to Empathy.
You can find the Empathy app on any iOS and Android device at the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. You can also download the app through the website at empathicholdings.com. Download the app today and get started down your path. Welcome to the show, Debbie. How are you today?
You know what? I'm really good. I just took my little dog for a walk, and she's got the zoomies now, and she's running around my feet. So there's, you know, nothing bad, but if you see me disappear for a second, it's because she's nibbling on my toes.
Fair enough. We'll keep that in mind. So where are you today?
I am in my kitchen in Gilbert, Arizona.
Oh, great. How is Arizona?
Arizona is beautiful. It's a little bit chilly right now. It's only going to get into the 60s today. Gee, that's chilly.
Well, it's better than Dallas, I guess. It's like 70 over here. So,
yeah.
But anyways, so you've got a great story, I think. Do you want to just kind of hop into that, or do you want to?
No, you know, fire away. Ask me whatever questions you want to ask me, or set it up however you want to set it up. I'm ready for you.
Great. Well, let's just start with kind of like a little bit about you and your story and journey with happiness.
Yeah, sure. So let's see. I moved to Arizona in July because, you know, if you're going to go to Arizona, July is the time to do it. Anybody will tell you, the hottest part of the year, monsoon season, it's humid. I came out here from New Jersey. I followed my heart. I met a guy who I just absolutely fell in love with. And on our very first date, he told me that he had a plan to move out here. And, you know, it's like, it's a weird thing when you go from first date, you're like, yeah, sure. It's nice that you have a plan, to, you know, a couple of years later where it's like, oh my God, we're moving, huh? We're moving. So, you know what? And I have never been happier. I love it out here. I love the people. I love the climate. You know, I have a furry child now. So I really can't complain. My life is great. You know, living with my, you know, the love of my life, everything's just really good. But I guess the topic of happiness, you know, we always talk about our work. You know, as grownups, you really become what you do, right? Or people think of you as what you do. And personal happiness is not something that we talk about an awful lot. you know, are you happy with your career? Are you happy with your relationship? You know, but we don't really talk a lot about, are you happy? Are you generally happy? And if so, how do you get there? So I come from a family of people who are bipolar. My brother, sister, and father were all bipolar. And it gave me a little bit of a perspective. Once I was old enough to understand what that is, and, you know, I'm embarrassed to say how old I was when I really understood how that affects people, because I'm going to say I was in my 40s before I really understood what that meant. And a very good friend of mine explained it to me one day, and she said, you know, Debbie, you have to understand that when people are bipolar, there is nothing that beats that manic high. You know, she said to me that's why so often people will go off their meds, because it helps them with the low part, but it also dulls the top part, and the top part is really what's exciting for them, right? But it also is why so many people self-medicate. You know, typically, I'm sorry, I'm going off on a tangent, but typically when you find out that somebody is a drug addict, it's usually because they're self-medicating, you know, some other problem, right? They're trying to fix another problem. And in the case of my family, it was bipolar disorder. And, you know, my sister actually was not only bipolar disorder, but she also had borderline personality disorder, which, again, I didn't understand what that meant until after she died. So I guess my whole life, I watched people really struggle with this, you know, like people who, you know, my sister wouldn't be able to sleep for a month. And then I wouldn't hear from her for 2 weeks. And my father was the same way. They would get you know, when they were on their manic highs, they wouldn't sleep for weeks at a time. And it was weird to me because I've always just been happy. I was just born happy. You know, I've just always had that thing inside me that wanted to be happy. And I think that there's a kind of a survival instinct that's involved in that for me. You know, but my mother said when I was a baby, she called me sunshine, you know, so I guess maybe some people are born happy, but I think I have also always sought to be happy. I've always liked the way happy felt. So I know when I come across situations where I'm with people who are unhappy, I mean, I always try to be a cheerleader for people, and I always try to help them, you know, not be obnoxiously like, hey, here's the silver lining. But, you know, I always try to help people understand how great they are and how valuable they are and how much they can contribute. Because I believe that about them, and I surround myself by people that I think are in some way better than me, smarter than me, you know, better at something, you know, because that's how we all reach and grow. And that makes me happy. You know, that makes me happy to think that I'm around people who are awesome. And so often people don't understand how awesome they are. And I think that a lot of the time people, when they're unhappy, it's because they get caught up in that, you know, that self-doubt. And not that I don't have self-doubt, but I guess I have learned to just kind of have my moment and move on, as opposed to letting it, you know, overwhelm me and determine what I'm going to do next. How's that?
I think that's amazing. So I love this idea of have my moment and then move on. What do you mean by that? Can you give us a little bit more there?
Sure. You know, you have to acknowledge when you're feeling something, right? I mean, mm-hmm. You know, if today I feel fat, or tomorrow I feel stupid, or the next day I feel like a failure, I think it's normal. I think there's a certain amount of that
right.
that we all that it's okay for us all to feel, right?
Right.
You know, I worry that I'm going to ruin this really awesome puppy by not training her correctly, right? I mean, you know, do I lay awake, you know, at night and you know, no, but I, you know, it's a concern because she's a great dog, you know what I mean? Yeah. And we just adopted her a couple of weeks ago, but you know, like that's a concern. Or I started my own business recently and, you know, it's a struggle starting a business, right? And you have to allow for the fact that it takes a certain amount of time to get things off the ground. But you know what? Once in a while, I have a self-doubt moment. I have a day where I'm just like, oh, this is never going to happen. And I acknowledge that. And then like, I'll call somebody. I'll phone a friend. And I'll be like, this is how I feel right now. And my friends usually will steer me back in the right direction.
So it sounds like you're saying, you know, it's okay to have the moments of sadness, of self-doubt, of frustration, of anger, but to not live in them, to not sink in them.
Yes, I think that's exactly it. Yeah.
And then to move on to a larger scope of happiness.
Yeah, I think that's exactly it. Like this, you know, I'm sad about this micro thing. But let's, you know, when you talk to somebody else who reminds you of all the other great things that are going on in your life or all the other, this gives you perspective, you know?
Yeah, perspective.
It really does. Because it's so easy. You know, we all can have anxiety and we all can have doubt, you know? And I just think that, you know, there are people who think that any amount of doubt is doubt and, you know, well, that's bad. And so I am, you know, I am that person where, you know, instead of kind of acknowledging that part of yourself, like, okay, you know, I'm having some doubt today. I'm having a fat day or a dumb day or whatever, or an unsuccessful day. You know, I tell people too, like, you know, I was very fortunate because, you know, even though like half of my family did suffer from mental illness, my mother, was the most confident person you ever met. She, from the outside appearance, you know, she was bulletproof. And from the outside appearances, she never had an insecure day. She never had a fat moment. She never had an ugly day. She never had, you know, and, you know, I could say, well, that was my example and I was very lucky, but, you know, again, I had two siblings who suffered from mental illness. So there's more than that, right? There's nature and nurture, right? So, you know, I guess I was the lucky one that was born with, you know, that temperament, and my brother and sister were not. And so they suffered from actual mental illness and not just, as opposed to that momentary doubt or anxiety that, you know, that is normal with people.
So help me understand if there was like a turning point or a moment in your life, because most people that struggle with a family dynamic like yours, you know, tend to find themselves, you know, down in the dumps, right? They tend not to be able to rise above. So what was it for you that sort of allowed you to choose to be happy or to move forward or to continue to live your life without being sort of, you know, overcome by theirs?
That's a good question. I never thought about that before. I think sometime around when I graduated from college, this is my early 20s. And, you know, I think that of all of the times in people's lives, I think that is the most uncertain for so many of us, right? Unless you know exactly what you want to do and what you want to be. I would say that in that moment, I was very, very unsure and very, and really, I mean, you know, I probably did suffer from some degree of anxiety. And I just remember, I think that was the moment where I realized that if I do something, anything to move myself forward, that I would feel better about myself. Like I just discovered it by accident that if I chose any direction to go in and did something to go in that direction, that I would feel better because I would feel like I was accomplishing something. Right. And that's something that I think throughout my life, I think that just that feeling of accomplishment makes you feel better. I think there are a couple of things in life that really help people. And somebody said this to me very recently. And as a matter of fact, I should look for exactly what they said, but,
sure.
But one thing was that, for me anyway, like I started working out before work a number of years ago, and I discovered that if I worked out before work, by the time I get to the office, I've already accomplished something. And I feel really good about that, right? Yeah. I feel good about myself. And then it's also something that I want to do. And, you know, once your day gets underway, you don't know sometimes where you're going to land, right? So you could say to yourself, I really want to work out today and I'm going to work out after work. But you know what? Something happened. You sat in traffic. The mm-hmm. meeting that you were in mm-hmm. ran a little bit long, you know, whatever it is. Yeah. And now it's 7:30 and you don't feel like putting on your sneakers.
Oh, yeah.
And,
yeah.
Right.
I've been there 100 times, 1,000 sure. times, a million times, at least a million times. Yeah. Yeah.
Without question, I have as well.
The odds of me working out after 10 a.m. drop radically.
Right. There's a flow chart for that, right?
Yeah.
But I think the other thing that helps elevate you, aside from getting something accomplished that helps you advance yourself, and I'm looking for the quote because I just love this quote.
As you look for it, you're reminding me of two different things right now. One is a graduation speech I saw recently. I don't remember who it was or his name, rather, but he was, I think, like a four-star general, I think in the Marines, maybe.
I know the one you're talking about.
Yeah, his advice was, you know, make your bed every morning because then you've at least accomplished one thing today. So you can't say I didn't do anything, you know. And then the other one you're talking about with the pick a direction. You know, I think of the poster of the squirrel, you know, in the middle of the road that's flattened because he didn't go left or right. And it's like neither was the right choice. You just needed to pick one and go. Otherwise, you know, you're gonna be a pancake, I guess.
Yeah, you know, that's really very. It's a very dramatic, you know, visualization of that, but it's so true, right? Sometimes when we get paralyzed by choice, right? That, oh my God, this is like having a 2-year-old in my lap, by the way. I don't know if you can see. She's like a 2-year-old. That's right. But yeah, sometimes, you know, that analysis paralysis, right? You know, and if you don't make a decision, the decision is made, you know, whether you like it or not, your decision is made for you. Yeah. And you're in a way you're forfeiting your choice, right? By not making a decision. Okay. You need to just stop chewing my necklace. I knew she was going to do this. Okay. What this person was saying, this might have been it. This person's who runs a charity. He runs a nonprofit organization. I can't think of the name, but I wish I could find the quote that he said. But basically, he was saying how. He teaches, one of the things that they do is teach young people to feel good about themselves by giving back, by doing something for other people. And, you know, it's incredible what a boost in your personal self-esteem that can be, right?
Absolutely.
So, you know, that's one of the things that I really wanted to do when I got here. It's something in New York, and this is a terrible thing to say, but it's very true. You know, in New York, there's a lot of people who say that they have a cause-driven organization, and what they mean by that really is that they recycle their water bottles or something. You know what I mean? Like it's something that's super cool. But here in Arizona, people say that they're a cause-driven organization. They really mean it. And they really do get involved in the community. And it's something that I always wanted to do. And it's something that I have gotten more and more involved in because I'm in a community where people do truly, truly give back and get involved. And that's, again, that's one of the things that I love about here. And, you know, as I kind of go through my journey here, you know, I decided that maybe my lifelong mission has always been, but now in maybe micro doses, but maybe now there's something I can do greater. You know, you can move along a community simply by teaching people in that community that they have value, right? You can elevate people simply by saying you have value. And let me help you understand the value that you've got. And because of that value, here are all the great opportunities for people like you. And I think one of the problems that we have in communities where people, you know, there really and truly is that cycle of poverty, right? You know, there's a lot of other rhetoric around all of this nonsense, but at the end of the day, there's a cycle of poverty, and that is for real. And, you know, you can't fix that by throwing money at it. And politicians love to throw money at it. And what really needs to happen is you need to insert people. This is a human problem. You can't put a brand new school in a poor neighborhood and then complain why the kids aren't learning. There's a whole lot else that goes along with that. You know, if the kids are afraid of getting beat up on their way to school, they're not going to go to school, right? I mean, if they get to school, but they have to work in order to make a contribution to the household, or they have an abusive, you know, household where there's no way that they could even, you know, focus on their schoolwork. There's just a whole lot of other problems that human beings can help with that just right. Throwing money situation cannot. But right. Anyway, so, you know, again, I'll get off my soapbox, but, you know, again, that's just a way of me expanding, well, not just my happiness, but sharing it.
Yeah, no, I think that's great. And giving back and paying it forward is such an important component for that. So thank you so much for your time, Debbie. We really appreciate you and your story and your struggles. And thank you for sharing and giving back. And we hope that your happiness will inspire others.
Well, thank you very much. Thanks for the opportunity to share. I really enjoyed it.
If you've enjoyed this podcast, don't keep it a secret. Share it with your friends and family. Tell everyone. Put it on Twitter. We'd love it if you give us a 5-star rating and a review. We always love feedback. And then, of course, like and subscribe to make sure you don't miss an episode. You can find us on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, iHeartRadio, or wherever you get yours. As a reminder, Taylor Counseling Group is in the DFW area with offices from Dallas to Fort Worth. And in Waxahachie as well. We are also now in the Houston and San Antonio areas as well. So if you or somebody you know might be interested in getting some counseling, feel free to give us a call, 214-530-0021. You can send us an email, info@taylorcounselinggroup.com, and you can look us up on the web at taylorcounselinggroup.com. You can find us on Twitter as well, @TCG_Dallas. So if you need us, we're here, but if not, no worries. I just hope you enjoy the show.
What a great interview that was. And before we get into our discussion about it or breakdown about it, really, I just wanted to say thank you for being on the
podcast, Debbie, we loved the soundtrack that kind of came along with it and meeting your furry pal. So thanks for bringing him. And thanks for the music as we had a great conversation. Okay, so Debbie gave us a lot of great topics to unpack, and you know, unfortunately, we're just not going to have enough time to do it. But I did want to touch on just a few of them. You know, we've already kind of talked about nature versus nurture, which I think is a very important concept because you know, if you find yourself in a place where you are sad or angry or anxious and you just can't get out of that, it keeps happening over and over again, it doesn't mean that something's wrong with you. You know, you might just be predisposed to responding in that way. So just because you are sad or angry and maybe your sibling isn't in the same situation, or your friend responds to it in a much better way or a way you would like to respond to it, I want to make sure that you do not beat yourself up over this. Some things are truly out of our control. Sometimes we're just wired differently or predisposed based off of our genetic makeup, our nature, you know, to respond in certain ways. So I want you to know that it's okay and that you're not alone in that, right? And that there's no good in stewing in it, right? It's good to sit in our emotions and reflect. That's very healthy, to become self-aware, to think through, gee, I didn't love that response. How can I do it better? Or I'm so upset, you know, and I don't want to be, right? That's natural. But staying in it for a very long period of time, for an extended period of time, is unhealthy. And it just causes more harm than good, rather than talking to our friends about it or, you know, seeking out professional help if you feel like that's what you need to do. So I wanted to be clear about that because I think it's an important concept that Debbie brought up, is that it, just sitting in it, you know, over and over and over again for long periods of time just does not help. So if you find yourself doing that, now is a great time to break that cycle and reach out. And if you know a friend that's doing that constantly, now's a great time to reach out to them and say, hey, let's talk. You know, how can I help you with this? So I really wanted to talk about that for a brief moment. And then also this concept that Avery brought up, I love, of the direction, that happiness is a direction. It's not north or south necessarily. I don't know that the direction is a right or wrong direction. I think it's more about, and this is the more important part, that we make the choice to go down that direction, that we choose to go down one path over another because we decided to, because this was right for me, because I want to go down that road. I made a choice to do this. And the power in making that choice really removes you from the victim mentality. It's not happening to you now. You are the one in control. You have the power. You have the power to choose. And so you chose to go down that road. And now we can choose to react. We can choose to work on our reactions, and we can grow in healthy and productive ways, which I think is very powerful and can be very powerful in our lives. So if you find yourself struggling with happiness today, if you find yourself sad and alone, that's okay. You know, it's okay to be sad. It's okay to be alone. It's okay to struggle with loneliness and anxiety and anger and any of these other emotions that are out there. That is okay. I do want to challenge you that if you find yourself in this space where happiness is elusive, where you just can't find it no matter what you do, I want to challenge you for a moment to think about what you've been doing for others and how you're expressing gratitude. Because I think that's kind of where we left with Debbie, was this idea of doing for others. And this idea I love, because there truly is a response that happens inside of us when we help somebody else. We do feel good. We feel great afterwards. And I'm not talking about being taken advantage of. You know, I'm talking about actively deciding, making a choice that today I'm going to go volunteer, that today I'm going to go help at a soup kitchen. Today I'm going to go do this for my neighbor or my friend. Not because I want something from them, but because I want to pay goodness forward. So if you're struggling with happiness right now, if you cannot seem to find happiness in your life, I want to challenge you to think about how you can bring happiness to others. I want to challenge you to think about what you can do, the direction that you can choose to go in to bring happiness into the world. Try that for a week, for two, and then let me know. Tell me, did something happen for you? Did happiness happen in your life when you went out of your way for others? I am your host, Dr. Christopher Taylor, and I hope you have enjoyed these thoughts for your self-examination.